All right, let's dive in. Today, we're tackling real estate law. Specifically, those moments that make you go, wait, what?
Yeah, like discovering your dream home has a secret lien attached to it.
Or maybe you're facing a lawsuit and suddenly your property's at risk.
Exactly. And we're digging into some real estate law textbooks to help you navigate these tricky situations.
We're talking about purchaser liens, mechanics liens, and even homestead exemptions. You know, those things you hear about but maybe aren't quite sure how they work.
Right. And these concepts, although they seem dry, they can actually make or break your real estate ventures.
Absolutely. So first up, purchaser liens. The textbook defines it, but basically it's like a safety net when you're buying a property.
It protects your investment if the seller, you know, doesn't hold up their end of the bargain or if the deal goes south.
So it's kind of like an insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a legal right that says, hey, you can get your money back. All the money you put towards that purchase price. Plus, any expenses you had for improvements, taxes, all that.
Wow. Okay. So if the seller misrepresents something, like, say, a real estate broker, inflates the construction cost to trick you into a bad deal.
You got it. That's where the purchaser's lien comes in. It can protect you.
But wouldn't that mean that buyers could just file liens for any little disagreement?
Well, not quite. The textbook's clear about that. The buyer has to be acting in good faith. So you can't just back out of a deal on a whim and then try to slap a lien on the property.
Right. There has to be a legitimate reason, a real breach of contract on the seller's side.
Exactly. There are safeguards in place. Now, switching gears a bit, let's talk about those pay me or else situations, mechanics liens.
Ah, yes. Those contractor horror stories we've all heard.
Right. But you got to understand both sides. These liens give contractors and subcontractors the power to get paid for their work, for their materials. It's protection for them.
Okay, I see. But the textbook mentions a 20-day preliminary notice. What's that all about?
So it's basically a heads up. It's like saying, hey, I'm working on this property, and if I don't get paid, I have the right to file this lien. You have to serve this notice to the property owner, the general contractor, and any lenders involved.
It's like a warning shot.
Yeah, pretty much. And the textbook had this interesting case where a subcontractor didn't file this notice.
What happened?
Well, they couldn't find public records of a construction loan, so they assumed there wasn't one and skipped the notice. Big mistake.
Oh.
Yeah. They ended up losing their right to a lien, didn't get paid.
So due diligence is key, even when things seem straightforward.
Absolutely.
Now, what happens if a property gets hit with a bunch of these liens, like all sorts of them?
That's when you get into lien-clouded titles.
Hmm?
It basically means the property's title has so many liens attached to it that it's a nightmare to sell or refinance.
That sounds messy. How do you even deal with something like that?
Well, the textbook gave a fascinating example about this equity purchase investor who was about to buy a foreclosed property. And during their due diligence, they found a judgment lien against the seller. Now, they could have walked away right there.
I probably would have.
But they saw an opportunity. They negotiated with the creditor and got a partial release of the lien. It turned into a win-win for everybody.
Wow. So it's not just about understanding these liens. It's about knowing how to navigate these tricky situations and negotiate your way through them.
Exactly. You got to know how lien priorities work, have good negotiation strategies, that kind of thing. And that's where homestead exemptions come in. Have you heard about those?
I have, yeah. But I got to admit, they're a bit fuzzy for me. I know they protect your primary residence from creditors, but beyond that.
Yeah, well, in California, there are actually two types of homesteads, automatic and declared. They both offer the same financial protection, but the declared homestead gives you more control, especially if you need to sell.
Oh, interesting. So what's the difference between the two?
Okay, so with an automatic homestead, you don't actually have to do anything. It's automatically applied to your primary residence. But there's a catch. The textbook points this out. If that's all you have, you might find yourself stuck. If you need to sell.
Stuck how?
Well, the creditor could block the sale or try to claim part of the money you get from it.
So it's almost like being trapped in a short sale situation.
Yeah, kinda. But with a declared homestead, you file paperwork with the county and it gives you more control. You can negotiate a release from the creditor or even take legal action to clear the lien so you can sell freely.
So the declared homestead is like having an extra tool in your toolbox.
Exactly. It gives you more options, empowers you to take control.
This is getting really interesting. We're starting to see how understanding these legal tools can really make a difference.
Yeah, we've only scratched the surface. Let's talk about another powerful tool for asset protection, LLCs.
LLCs. Everyone talks about them, but do they really understand them? They sound like a good thing, but why would someone use them for real estate?
Think of it this way. You're protecting your personal assets from anything that could happen with your business.
Okay.
So, like, imagine your real estate holdings are this prized ship, right? Mm-hmm. And LLC is like a separate lifeboat for those assets. Even if the main ship runs into trouble, that lifeboat stays safe.
Got it. So if someone sues the LLC, they can't just come after all my personal stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the idea. You're limiting your liability. The textbook actually uses this example of a rental property. Let's say you own it through an LLC.
Okay.
Then a tenant gets hurt on the property and decides to sue.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. Well, the lawsuit targets the LLC, not you directly.
So my personal stuff is protected.
Right.
Smart move. Especially for real estate investors who are dealing with these kinds of situations. Are there downsides, things to watch out for?
Oh, for sure. You can't just put everything into an LLC and forget about it.
Yeah.
One big thing is this concept of fraudulent conveyance.
Okay, what's that?
So LLCs are for legitimate asset protection. You can't just transfer stuff into one to avoid paying your debts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a big no-no. The law is really clear about that.
So use LLCs strategically, but ethically.
Exactly. For real protection, not just as a way to hide from your responsibilities.
Now, the textbook mentions something called a charting order. What's that about?
That's how creditors can try to go after assets in an LLC. It's like a freeze on the member's interest in the LLC to pay off a debt. But, and this is important, they can't just take the real estate itself.
Okay.
Only the members share the profits or distributions.
So not a complete takeover.
Right.
But it still could put a strain on the individual.
Yeah, definitely. That's where the structure of your LLC and the operating agreement becomes super important. A lot of times you can have clauses that allow for buying out a member's interest if this charging order happens.
To protect the other member.
Yeah, and the LLC itself.
This is getting complicated.
Yeah, using an LLC the right way takes a lot of planning.
You really have to know what you're doing.
Definitely talk to some legal professionals, especially those who are experienced in real estate and asset protection.
So LLCs offer protection for your assets, especially with real estate, but you got to be smart about it.
Right. And ethical. Can't just use them as a shield.
Let's go back to those homestead exemptions for a minute. You mentioned that a declared homestead can be a game changer, but I'm still not clear on how powerful they really are.
Well, think of homestead exemptions like a safety net. They protect your primary residence from certain creditors. It's all about making sure you have a place to live.
It's about stability,
yeah.
Having a foundation, you know, a place to rebuild if things go wrong.
Exactly. And the textbook walks through this situation where a homeowner's hit with a judgment from a creditor.
Okay.
And that creditor files an abstracted judgment, basically a lien on the property.
Right. So that means a court has officially recognized the debt.
Uh-huh. And the creditor has the right to try and collect.
Okay, I follow. So how does the homestead exemption actually protect the homeowner?
Remember those two types of homesteads, automatic and declared?
Yeah.
They come into play here, big time.
Remind me again about the difference.
Sure. So automatic homestead is like a default in California. You don't have to do anything. It's automatically applied to your main house.
Mm-hmm.
But a declared homestead, you got to file paperwork with the county, and it gives you more control.
Why would someone go through that extra step if they're already protected?
Control and flexibility. Mm. Like, imagine a homeowner wants to sell their house, but they only have that automatic homestead. They might be in trouble because the creditor could block the sale.
Oh, wow.
Or try to grab part of the profit.
That's a problem.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck. But with a declared homestead, you've got options. You can try to negotiate a release from the creditor or even go through this legal thing called a quiet title action.
Quiet title action, yeah.
You clear the lien in and then you can sell freely.
That sounds serious.
It can be, but it's a way to clear up any confusion about who owns the property.
Okay.
It makes the title clean.
Yeah.
Easy to sell.
The textbook gave this example. I think it shows how strong a declared homestead can be. So what if a homeowner is facing foreclosure and there's a judgment lien on their property,
mm-hmm.
but they filed for the homestead before that lien was recorded?
Smart move. In that case, the homestead exemption would actually win out over the judgment. Even if the house is sold, they still get their protected amount from the sale.
So it's like a shield, even in foreclosure.
Exactly. Protects part of their equity, even when they're losing the home.
That's amazing. Understanding these little details could really help homeowners.
Oh, yeah, especially when they're going through a tough time.
But we've covered so much today. Purchaser liens, those buyer beware moments, mechanics liens, and why due diligence is important.
And don't forget homestead exemptions. the safety net for homeowners.
Understanding all of this is just crucial no matter what you're doing with real estate.
It all ties together, right? You got to be informed. You got to be proactive. Don't just hope for the best. Do your homework.
Talk to the experts when you need to.
And make sure you're protected.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to think about. How can you use all of this, whether you're buying, selling, investing, or just protecting your own house?
Think about how this knowledge can help you make smart choices.
And remember, knowledge is power, but it's even better when you share it. Keep learning about these topics, talk to people about it, ask questions.
We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on social media, keep the conversation going. Until next time.